Good evening, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Five Tool Show. I am your host, Tanya Mercado. I also have on the line Carell Cooper, the great, most awesome co-host ever from OnTheBlack.com. He is finally back from a two-week hiatus. He's the lucky one and was able to go on vacation while the rest of us slave away at our 9-to-5 jobs. How are you, Carell?
I'm okay, and thank you for that intro. It's good to be back. I wish I was still laying on a beach somewhere, but good to be back on the show. And I think we've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, well, this is true. But the question is, do we want to talk about it?
Well, it depends what you're going to talk about. I mean, if you're going to talk about the Mets, it's a yes and no answer. You know, disappointed as to where we are, but you know what, I do have a lot to say about them right now.
Well, here's the question. I mean, are we disappointed or are we like, okay, you know what, we're kind of numb to this, we kind of expected this, so whatever. I mean, Mets fans are always saying same old, same old, yet they're all like, well, we're pissed off, we're upset. Okay, but you know what, you kind of expected this, didn't you? You had to know that at the beginning of the season, first half of the season, when the Mets were doing great, you were like, oh, yay, team's doing wonderful, but you know that you were waiting for that other shoe to drop. You knew it was only a matter of time. You had to have prepared yourself for it because you knew it was going to happen. You hoped it wouldn't, but you knew it would.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And I tweeted about this a couple nights ago, and I said that I went on a bit of a little Mets rant on Twitter, and at the end of it, I said, I'm more mad at myself than the team, and mad at myself for the simple fact that you're right, and you know that, and I've said this on the show before, that at the beginning of the year, I expected the Mets to finish in last place, and that's where they are right now, but I'm mad at myself because I allowed myself to get sucked in to the hoopla earlier in the year and had it raise my expectations. You know, which is a hard thing to do, but you're right. And going back to what we talked about earlier in the year, I mean, this shouldn't be unexpected. It's still disappointing, but it definitely should not be unexpected. And I allowed myself personally to get sucked into what was going on. Team was playing well first half of the season. Dickey was looking like a Cy Young candidate. Santana was surprising everyone, then he threw the no-hitter. So, you know, I got sucked in, and now we're seeing the true team right now, I think.
And I'd like to welcome Brian into the chat room. He says, hi, Tanya. Hi, Carl, or Carell. I guess you're back to being Carl.
I guess so.
I mean, this is something that I was talking with Phil Nations, because I had Phil Nations on the show last week to fill in as co-host.
Right.
And we were talking about Mets fans being suckers. Were they suckers, or are they just passionate? And there's a line to be, you know, being a sucker and just being passionate about your team. So how would you describe what you went through? Were you suckers, or were you just showing passion for your team?
I mean, there is a line between that, but I think it's a very, very, very fine line. And, you know, I was probably on both sides of the fence. You know, of course, I'm a very passionate fan, and I want this team to win in the worst way. And because of that, you know, you get sucked in with any little thing, and, you know, I guess that and make you a sucker, I guess, for lack of a better term. But, yeah, you know, and I think most of us did get sucked in with what was going on in the first half of the season, especially with the way Dickey and Santana was pitching, you know, at the no-hitter and Dickey throwing, you know, all those one-hitters and shutouts and the team winning and us not really missing Reyes and – you know, despite the bullpen being terrible, despite Ike Davis slumping, despite, you know, Jason Bay being Jason Bay, You know, this team was playing good baseball in the first half of the season, and you know, that's why they say you play 162. You know, cream rises to the top, and you know, this team played about 3-4 months good baseball, and then they fell off. So probably a little of both, I would say.
Do you think that the players gave up on their manager? Do you think they quit on their manager, or do you think that it's a case that they are trying with what they have?
I don't think that they've given up. You know, I mean, it looks like that at times. You know, when a team goes out there and they only score one run, you know, or they have a couple bad games in a row, but I don't know. I don't think that this team quit. I don't think that they've given up. I mean, let's take tonight, for example. I mean, the team was down, I believe, 4-0, and they battled back to 5-4. I'm not sure what the score is right now, but, you know, if this team has given up or quit, you know, they wouldn't be battling back in Philly, right, with both teams out of it and this game meaning really nothing. So I don't think that they quit. I just think that at times they look really bad because this is a bad team, and it just looks like they've quit. But I really don't think that they have.
Okay, based on what you've seen the entire season, and I'll be honest, I really haven't been watching the Mets games because, as many of you know, I was in school, and plus with my job, I work till 8, 9 o'clock at night. By the time I come home, the games are over. So I really can't judge what the team has done and what or who has been the weakest link. So from what you've seen, who or what was the weakest link? Was it the offense? Was it the defense? Was it a particular player? Was it the pitching? Was it who do you think was the weakest link?
Well, I mean, I think at different parts of the year, you can blame different things. Whether it has been, you know, the offense not scoring for a period of time or the starting pitching, which struggled coming back from the All-Star break. But the one thing that has been consistently bad all season long has been the bullpen. There really hasn't been a long stretch where the bullpen has, you could say, they've been good. So consistently bad throughout the whole year. Definitely think it's the bullpen is the weakest link on this team right now. Now, that doesn't mean that this team doesn't have other issues, because they do. Left field is a complete disaster with Jason Bay. They could most definitely use an upgrade at center field. I'm definitely not sold on what they have behind the plate in their catching situation. And going into this offseason, I still think you got to look at the starting pitching. You know, Santana's out for the rest of the year. We hope he comes back healthy next year, but you got to make that a question mark. You hope Neese continues to improve. You hope Dickey stays at the level that he's at. You know, what's going to happen with guys like G or Chris Young or some of the other guys like Harvey? You know, is Wheeler going to be ready next year, or is he still another year away? And there's still a question mark of Mike Pelfrey. What are you going to do there? So I think that there's question marks all over this team. But if you ask me to pick one that's top, it's the bullpen, because they've been consistently bad all year long.
I'd probably have to say I agree, but I'm not surprised. I mean, how often do we go through a season and it's always the bullpen? It always seems like that bullpen, no matter how hard they try to improve it, it just doesn't get improved. It always seems like, oh, yeah, we got a solid bullpen this year. Let's go. We got this. And yet they fall apart when it counts the most. You know, a lot of times I see this team and I see the bullpen, and I'm like, even with our closers, I'm like, holy mother of pearl, it's like we got Benitez all over again. You know, Benitez used to give us cardiac arrest every other night. So I have to agree.
Yep.
The bullpen is a problem. Our outfield was a problem. Especially
yep.
Bay. I wish Bay could just I wish they would just give up on him and just cut their losses. You know,
that might be what you see this offseason.
That's something I was actually talking with Phil Nations about last week. Why is it that it was okay to cut Perez, Castillo, yet we're not cutting Bay? If he's not helping the team, why are we keeping it? Are you really invested in this team to improve this team? If you can't even say, okay, you know what, we have to cut this guy because he's not helping this team. This team, they were doing great the first half of the season, okay? Bay comes back, not to say that Bay is the be-all of this team, but still, you know he's not helping matters. So why haven't they cut him? Why are they still supporting him? Why are they still putting him out there? Should he have been benched? But then if he's benched, who do you put in left?
Well, I think that right there, that question that you asked, is the biggest reason. I really don't know who you would put out there. I can't name anyone that you would put out there. I mean, you know, in the case of Perez and Castillo, you know, you had other guys that would come in into the starting rotation or even to play second base that were at least serviceable and give you, you know, a little bit better what those guys give you. I really don't know who you would put out there on an everyday basis if you take Bay out. And I think that the question that you asked is the perfect question and probably the reason why he's still on the team, at least now. I gotta be honest with you, I would be shocked if he's on this roster going into spring training next year. I would be shocked.
Well, next year is going to bring about a lot of surprises, I have to say. I expect to see some people back. I expect not to see some people.
Yep.
I'm praying to God Jason Bay will be one of those people we do not see. And I don't think it should be a surprise. I think it should be common sense. And if Sandy Alderson does not have the common sense to cut Bay, Sandy Alderson needs to go. Because at that point, he does not have what it takes to cut somebody. He doesn't have the cojones. He doesn't have the common sense.
Well, like I said, if he's back, I will be completely shocked by that. I think that figuring out what to do there is definitely going to be one of those top priorities this offseason. I just can't see him being back. I mean, he gives his team absolutely nothing in left field. I mean, absolutely nothing. So I'd be shocked if he's back next year. Shocked.
Well, I guess time will tell. Guess we'll
yep.
Just have to wait for the off season to happen, and then I would love to see the reaction of Mets fans if he is back. What are they going to do? Are they actually going to just say, you know what, to hell with this team, to hell with Alderson and what have you? Because a lot of people did believe in Alderson. A lot of people did believe in what he was doing. So especially after the All-Star break, so many people have lost confidence in him and think that he needs to go. Where do you stand with Sandy Alderson right now? Do you think he should stay or do you think he should go? Because I'm giving him one more year to see what he does.
Yeah, I'll give him one more year, definitely to kind of see what he does. You know, when he came in, I was a big fan. I was a big fan of kind of his strategy at the beginning. But, you know, I got to be fair. You know, we just talked about the bullpen and that being the weakest link. If you go back to last year, that was the priority for the Mets in the offseason last year was that bullpen. You know, they brought in a new closer. They brought in a couple of new guys. You know, with the little money that they spent and the little money moves that they made last year, the focus was to make the bullpen better than it was the previous year. And the bullpen's actually worse this year than it was the previous year. So, you know, while I am a fan of his, you know, I got to be fair. And to me, that's on him because he makes the moves for this team. So, you know, I definitely want to see what he can do this offseason. He's got some challenges ahead of him, but, you know, we've got to see improvement. We've got to see this team moving forward. And if he can't start to turn that corner with one more year, then I think we seriously need to talk about what we're doing here as a team. You know, that's that's my opinion. That's kind of where I stand with this right now. But I'm willing to kind of say, okay, one more year, let's see what he can do this off season.
Well, last week we had a caller who says that, because we were talking about blame, who gets the blame for this season? And he said that it starts from the top. And he's fully convinced that it's all on the Wilpons. Do you agree with that, or do you think that this season was fully on Alderson?
No, I mean, I always think it kind of starts from the top. You know, one of the reasons why, let's not forget, even though we're trying to get past it now, one of the reasons why, you know, the Mets are in the situation that they're in is because they spent money really bad in the past, and now, you know, with the owner's personal financial situation, now they can't really spend much money. So they're constrained from a standpoint, from a budget standpoint. Now, they still have enough money and still have, to me, in my opinion at least, a high enough payroll where they should be able to be competitive and should be able to win. But, you know, I still think it starts at the top, and, you know, the Wilpons with their financial situation, let's face it, it has hurt this team, has hampered this team in terms of what they can do financially. But from there on down, Alderson with the moves he made last year with the bullpen didn't work out. And on and on and on. I mean, I think that there is enough blame to go around. I don't think a team finishing in last place is never one person's fault. I think there's plenty enough blame to go around, from the owners to the GM to the scouts to the coaches and the manager and to the players.
Okay. I agree. Do you think Collins should be around?
I think he should. I think Collins should be back. I don't think that he's done, you know, such a terrible job that he deserves to go. I mean, I'd give him one more year just like I would Alderson, and if it doesn't work out, bring in a new GM, and if the new GM wants to pick a new manager, let him pick a new manager. But, you know, I think Collins, for the most part, and this is not just looking at this year, it's looking at last year, I think he's been good for a lot of the young players. I think that for the most part, again, that they have played 9 innings of every game, and they've fought and worked hard at it. I just think that, you know, there comes to a point where the team is just not good enough. But I'm not going to put that all on the manager. So I have no problem with Collins coming back next year.
Okay, well, Ryan says that, you know, while he does like Collins, if they get rid of him, he wants Wally Backman.
I don't see if Wally Backman has the same cast, I don't see how the team would be any better.
Okay.
What is Wally Backman going to do that Collins hasn't done that would turn this team in from a last place team to, you know, a third place team or a second place team?
The Mets are not in last place. Okay, the Marlins have that lovely place, not the Mets.
The last time I checked, they were in last. So what are they in? Second to last by a game or something?
Yeah, second to last.
By how much?
Better than last.
How much? By a game.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I will hold on to that.
If that is what you are holding on to, Tanya, then God bless you.
See, even Brian agreed. Brian agreed. She said, yes, thank God for the Marlins.
All right. We'll talk when we talk again next week. Let's open the show with the standings and let's see who's where. All right. Correction. Second to last, the Mets have a 2.5 a game and a half lead over the Marlins.
Yes.
My bad. All right, so what is Wally Backman going to do that Collins hasn't done that, you know, the team is 59 and 69. I mean, is Collins would have made this a 71 team, right? I mean, if Backman, was he going to make this a 71 team right now? I don't understand. What is Backman going to do?
Probably throw nothing but bats and baseballs onto the field when he doesn't get a call his way. That's the only thing that I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, is that what we want?
It would be entertaining, to say the least. But no, I mean, it's just a matter of finding the right players. You know, we didn't have the players that we should have had when this season started. Okay, Collins can only do so much, but it's up to the players to go out there and do their job. And that's something that I have always believed in. The general manager puts the team together. The coaches and the managers, they work with what they have. The players, when all is said and done, have to go out and play the game. They are the ones who have to execute. So I don't think that bringing in Backman is going to change anything. Outside of him just losing his temper a little more, and there's pretty much nothing else. Because they have the same makeup.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And with that said, that's why, you know, I don't think that Collins should lose his job. He hasn't done anything that has embarrassed this team. He hasn't consistently made, like, horrible moves all year long. And, I don't care who you bring in here right now, you know, the record would be the same.
I'd like to welcome Jackson and guest 99099 to the chat room. For all you who are listening, you're listening to the 5Tool Show. I am your host, Tanya Mercado. I also have my co-host, Carell Cooper from OnTheBlack.com. We are talking Mets baseball right now.
Welcome, guys.
And guest 99099 says, what should happen? I should be the Mets GM, and I would name Tanya manager. Listen, you think Backman would be entertaining? Forget that. Half of my team would be demoted. I mean, that bullpen? Forget the bullpen, man.
And with all due respect to you and guest 99099, this team would still be in second to last place right now.
Pretty much. Because there's nobody right now in the minors that you can bring up that can actually get this team to another level. Not at this point. So at this point, the season is done. It's all about what can you do to improve for next year. You know, and with next year comes a lot more questions, because it seems like questions is all we have. We have what's going to happen with David Wright, what's going to happen with Ari Dickey, and Ari Dickey already said it. If by next year he does not have a contract, he will test free agency, because he does not want to have to go into the season negotiating a contract, this, that, and the other thing. He wants his security, blah, blah, blah. I get that, but at the same time, do your job. You're not negotiating your contract, your agent is. So if you're being paid to play next year, then play. You know, don't worry about it till the off season. Worry about it when you have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it right now, so don't. You don't have to worry about it during the season because you're being paid for that season. So don't worry about it. You worry about it at the last day. When the last game is over, that's when you worry about it.
Yeah, and I know folks are worried about Dickey and Wright, but you know what? The Mets both have club options on them this offseason. I mean, technically nothing has to be done with either of them this offseason. The Mets can exercise their options of both Dickey and Wright, and they both have to be Mets next year in 2013. So I'm not as concerned about either one of those guys right now as a lot of people. Do I want to see both of them signed to multi-year deals and stay Mets for the next few years to come? Of course I do. But As far as I'm concerned, I expect both of them to be Mets in 2013.
Well, what do you think about Zicky going on record to say that if he doesn't get his contract done before the season starts next year, he will likely test free agency? Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I mean, it's his option. If that's what he wants to do at the end of next year, it's his option. I think it's more of a negotiating ploy already to kind of get that out there. But, you know, I don't pay too much attention to that or kind of get worked up about it, especially when I know that the team controls the player for at least one more year. And you know what? If he goes out next year and let's say he has a horrible year, let's say he goes 5-15 next year, is it so bad that he would walk away from the Mets at the end of next year? I don't know. I don't think so. But if he goes out there and he has another great year, then, yeah, you want the Mets to sign him, and that's the risk that both sides take when they go into, the last year of a player's contract. But, I think it's more of a negotiation thing than anything else. I'm not worried about it. He's going to be a Met next year, and so is Wright.
Well, Test99099 says that he wants nothing to do with a knuckleballer, and he wouldn't pay him. He wants to go young and completely overhaul the entire franchise. Do you think it's gotten to the point where you just have to say, okay, you know what, we need to break up this team completely and start from scratch? Or do you think that there are still key players who can still help you out?
I definitely think there are key players that can still help you out. And as far as breaking up the team, I mean, you know, outside of David Wright, I look around this team. I mean, hopefully Jason Bay won't be on this team going into next year, but what other veterans do they have? They've got all young players that are developing and more coming. I mean, outside of Dickey and Santana in a rotation, you know, you've got Nice there, you've got Harvey there, you've got Wheeler coming, you got Mejia still in the minors. So, I mean, you've got young players that are coming and developing. So I'm not sure what we're supposed to be breaking up and restarting over. And as far as Dickey is concerned, it doesn't matter whether he's a knuckleball pitcher or not. If you look at his record, he's been the best pitcher on this team for the last two seasons. So I don't care what type of pitch he throws. The only thing I care about is his ERA and how many wins he has. And, he's got 16 wins right now and has been one of the best pitchers in baseball all season long. And, again, has been the best pitcher on his Mets pitching staff for the last two seasons. So I've got no problem with Ari Dickey right now.
What are his chances, in your opinion, for the Cy Young?
I don't think that he will win it. I think, you know, he struggled a little bit last month in July, and the fact that this team is in second to last place, let me make sure I clarify that so Tanya and Brian don't chew me apart. I haven't looked at kind of who's at the top of the NL right now in stats, but I'm sure that there's someone else up there that's probably on a team that's winning that may get more votes than he has. And unfortunately, I still think that there is that kind of stigma out there about the knuckleball pitch that may shy people away from voting for him. I think it's a shame that he didn't start in the All-Star game because I think he deserved to, but I hope he does win the Cy Young or is at least up there in the top votes, but something is telling me that someone else will probably get it.
So Guest 99 says that he wants to cut the roster and start over. So my question would be, how long are you willing to wait? Because if you start over, you're going to be waiting quite a long time. Don't expect anything within a year, 2 years, 3 years, because it's going to take a while. Are you that patient as a Mets fan?
But see, that's the thing. I don't understand. If we're talking about gutting the roster and starting over, I mean, then what have we been doing the last two seasons since Alderson's come in here then? I mean, if this isn't like, you know, getting rid of bad players and starting over, then what is? I mean, am I missing something here?
Well, don't forget, they haven't completely gotten rid of the bad players because we're still stuck with Jason Bay. Bay is still there.
True, but, I mean,
you know, look
what
at our bullpen.
Mean?
Our bullpen is still a hot mess.
Okay, but what is that? What that means then, Bay in the bullpen, or are we talking about getting rid of Wright, Davis, Tejada, Murphy, Duda, so on and so forth?
I would not gut the roster.
I would
because
either.
I think there's still players who are there who can be effective. So I wouldn't gut it. But I would really, really think about who is not being effective and seriously think, okay, you know what? I want this team to go where if we have to eat contracts, then we're eating the contracts. And I think they need to just, I think Alderson just needs to suck it up and do it because he's not doing it. Gutting the roster is not an option. It's not an option at all. He has to be able to just figure out what it is that's not working and get the pieces that will get it to work. And I'm not sure there's enough in the minors to do it, and I would really love to see what he's going to do in the offseason because it's already been said, Adam Rubin reported, that the Mets, the Wilpons, they intend to keep the payroll under $100 million. So if that's the case, how effective is Alderson going to be in improving this team for next year?
Well, I tell you that, you know what that means? I mean, that just means that certain players on this roster have to improve. Certain players on this roster have to keep getting better because he's going to be limited in terms of what he can go out there and do. So that means he's going to have to count on some people that are already here. That's what that means to me.
Okay, well, Guest 99 is in a match with Brian in the chat room over what should really be done. Because Jeff 99 is saying he doesn't want anybody over the age of 27, and he says you should build with kids through the 2016 season, then sign a few impact free agents during the winter of 2016. He says there should be a four-year rebuild starting the day after the last game of this year. Brian says that the kids aren't ready. I think some kids are ready, but in a sense, I kind of do agree with Guest 99 where bringing up some of the kids is not a bad idea in terms of allowing them to experience the majors and letting them learn. I mean, I think in a sense that was kind of the point with Matt Harvey. You bring him up, you let him take his lumps up here. Let him get a feel for what it is to be in the majors. And I've always agreed with bringing kids up, especially if you're out, you bring your kids up in August, September, and you let them play. Let them see. Let them show you what they got. Let them learn at this level. And then you analyze who is the best, and out of the best, you invite them to spring training and see what they can do for you in spring training. And then you decide from there what their future is going to be, if they will be impact players for that season. Now, some people are like, oh, you're bringing them up, they're too young, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah,
you know
what?
At some point, you kick your kids out of the house sometimes because you say, you know what, they need to learn their lesson, and the only way they're going to learn it is if they're out on their own. Well, sometimes you have to do that with the kids and the minors. You got to bring them up and let them experience what it's like up here. And then if they go back into the minors, they know what they need to work on, and then they come back better than they were the last time.
But, I mean, I hear what you guys are saying, but, you know, two thoughts I have on that. I mean, this roster is made up of half of the Buffalo team already. I mean, who else are they supposed to be bringing up here that they haven't brought up here throughout the season? I mean, they brought up a lot of people and have a lot of people here on this team already. I mean, the team is, they've got a lot of people in position spots that are young players. a lot, and they've been doing that throughout the year, all season long. So I mean, I don't know who else they're supposed to bring up. The other part of that, whether you know people want to take this into account or not, but I know the front office does, is it's a business thing. You know, you don't just bring up kids that aren't ready just to bring them up, because then that starts their major league clock on them in terms of their service and stuff like that. And then you got to deal with contracts sooner and all that other stuff, and the time you can control the player and a whole bunch of other things. So they're just not going to bring up, you know, a double A player just for the sake of bringing them up so he can get major league experience, because there's a business side to it too. So I mean, I don't know who else they're supposed to bring up. You know, Duda started the year up here, then he went down. They brought Newen Heis up here because of Torres' injury, and Newen Heis played well and he stayed. Valdespin was up here; he played well for a stretch. Tejada's been here all year long because of Reyes, and you know Turner's been up and down, and on and on and on. I mean, they've had a bunch of players up here all year long from Buffalo. I really don't know who else they're supposed to be bringing up.
Okay. Guest 99 is, in my opinion, an extremist. If he's talking about bringing players up from high single A level. So even if you're at single A, but if you're in the high end of single A, then you should be brought up to the majors. I don't agree with that at all. I think that's a little crazy. I think that's a bit extreme. And I think you just kill, because at the same time, you have to think about their confidence levels. You know, if you bring them up too early and they get killed in the majors, you bring them down to the minors, and either they're going to say, well, you know what, I have a lot to prove, and they're going to fight through it, or you're just going to kill their confidence altogether, and they won't be able to do anything. Because it's not just it's not all about just being playing ready. Like, can you do the fundamentals and all of that? But you have to be confident in your skills. You have to come up and say, I can do this. Because if you don't believe in yourself, then you're going to be destroyed. You have to be mentally strong. Because especially if you're in a big market club like the Mets or like the Yankees, the media is going to be all over you, like white on rice. So I think you need to be mentally strong, you have to be physically strong, and you really, really have to be capable of playing fundamental baseball. And I think at the single A level, they're not. At the double A level, they're getting there. At the triple A level, at that point, they should be ready for the majors. I still think that you still have to go through the minors, and you don't rush the kids. You develop them. You don't say, hey, you know what? The Mets are really desperate. We're just going to throw you in there. No, you can't do that. I don't agree with that at all. If you do have a player in AAA who you think is ready, then you bring him up to fill in a spot here and there. But I don't think you should just gung-ho and say, yeah, to hell with it all, and just throw the kids in there and let them take their lumps. I think that's too extreme. I think only select players you should do that with, and only at the AAA level.
Yeah, I agree with kind of your response there. You think, you know, bringing players up is one thing, but you just can't bring up players just to bring them up. And again, you know, I ask the question to anyone who wants to bring up players from the minors and don't think that the Mets have done that. You know, who else is down there that you want to bring up that you haven't seen? Because again, you know, they got a lot of people on this team, a lot of young players that played for a while together in Buffalo, and they've been bringing people up in and out all year long. So I just don't know who else is down there that they're supposed to be bringing up.
All right, well, here's my question for you. I mean, you already said that you really do feel like the Mets are going to be in last place, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, at the end of the year.
Yep.
So what do you think their record will be?
Wow. That's a good one. Let's see, where are they at right now? They've got 59 wins.
I wish I had the Jeopardy music.
59 and 69. I think, I think they'll be somewhere maybe between 70 and 70, maybe around like 71, 72 wins for the year at the end of the season.
Well, we actually agree on something. Okay. I was thinking along those same lines. But we were also talking about in terms of this supposedly being a big market team. We all know what happened with the Dodgers last season. Okay, they were this really god-awful hot mess. Okay? The Mets were being compared to the Dodgers. Okay? And then the Dodgers, they were bought by Magic Johnson and Company. And you heard about that major trade that went down.
Yep.
What do you think about what the Dodgers have done, comparing them to what the Mets have not done? You know, supposedly the Wilpons have more money now because of everything that happened, but yet they're not doing anything right now. So in that sense, how desperate are the Mets? Or for that matter, the entire organization to be sold in order to save it?
Well, first, I think that the Mets situation and the Dodgers situation of last year, although the bottom line was money, I think it's two totally different situations. And that's why the guy who was owning the Dodgers was forced to sell them because basically he was trying to do a network deal and take the money up front that he would get from the Dodgers to pay off his wife in their divorce settlement. And that's why I think Major League Baseball stepped in. I think the Mets situation is totally different, and I've said this to people before, and I still believe it, regardless of what you think of the Wilpons. I don't think that they're selling this team. I don't think that they're going to be forced to sell this team. And I think they're going to hold on to this team as long as they want to hold on to this team, unless something drastically changes for the worst sometime over the next couple years. I think that the move that the Dodgers made was kind of somewhat of a statement move by this new ownership to just, you know, show people that they are, quote unquote, committed to winning. I think that, quite frankly, in the long run, I think that that deal is going to end up hurting the Dodgers more than helping them, because they just basically took a bunch of players that from the Red Sox, from a team that wasn't doing well, and changed their situation. And I think maybe while those players may give the Dodgers a shot in the arm in the short run, I think that that lineup that they have with guys like Renteria and some of the other guys, I just don't think long term that that team's going to win. And, you know, they may end up regretting kind of making some of the moves that they made. Quite frankly, I think that the Red Sox did great in that move. They got rid of a lot of players and back and contracts that they just didn't want, and they're going to start over. So I think that the Mets and Dodgers situation, while, again, it's centered around money, are two totally different situations. Dodgers made a move. I know I'm probably in the minority in saying that I think that they'll probably regret it in a year or two, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. Fair enough. Personally, I think it was just a shot in the arm that the Dodgers felt that they needed in order to get themselves over the hump, especially since they are two games back, I believe, in the wild card. Get 2.5 in their division and 2 back in the wild card race. I think they felt that it was necessary in order to just get them over the hump, get them over the Giants. So even if it's just for 1 year, was it worth making that move if it gets them to the championship, the World Series, or even just to the playoffs?
to me, any move is worth it if you end up winning the World Series.
Even
you know,
if it's
so,
just
hey,
for 1 year, because most people want, if you win it once, you got to win it twice, three times. I mean, the Yankees did it. Now everybody thinks that all teams should be able to do it. That's not gonna happen, people. But if it gives you that ring for 1 year, is it worth it?
I think so. I mean, let's put it this way. You know, we've been disgusted with our team now for what now? 5-6 years, right?
We're not going to get into that.
Yeah, but no, let's think about this for a second, right? They were one swing away from going to the World Series in 06, right? They collapsed in 07. They fell apart down the stretch in 08 and missed the playoffs again, right? If we think back, right? If this team would have went to the World Series in 06, made the playoffs in 07, made the playoffs in 08, and let's say out of one of those 3 years, they would have won the World Series, right? And then everything moved forward, 09, 10, 11, and this year would have happened the way it would. You know, would we be as disgusted and discouraged by this team and ownership if they would have won the World Series one of those 3 years? I really don't think that we would. Would we be upset that the team's in the position that it's in now? Yeah. But at least we would have been able to hang our hat on one World Series one of those years. So I honestly think that fans look at things a little different if they have a World Series under their belt recently.
You're older than I am, right? I only saw like a couple of years. Do you remember the 1986 World Series at all?
I do. I was 10 in 86. So, you know, I don't remember pitch by pitch, game by game, but no, I do remember 86. Yeah.
I barely remember it. Like, in all honesty, the only thing I remember, I think, was the ball going through Buckner's legs. And that was because my father jumped up screaming. And he scared me half to death. I think that's the only reason why I remember that play. Otherwise, I'd have no recollection. Because I think I was like 6 years old back then.
Right.
When
and
it happened.
And that's the thing. I mean, a lot of Mets fans don't have a vivid memory of 86. And that's kind of my point. I mean, if you think about the team that went to the World Series in 2000. And then again, in 06, 07, and 08, that stretch. I mean, if we would have won one World Series in one out of those 4 years, you would have something to reference, something to hang your hat on. And I honestly think that most fans in that position that don't remember 86 wouldn't be as disgusted with this team as they are right now if they would have had a recent championship memory.
Well, the whole reason I'm asking this question is simply because you were talking about that their contract that the Dodgers now have that they're going to regret. But if it gets them to the World Series, I don't think they'll regret it at all. In their mind, it'll be well worth it. Because, I mean, even if you do have a series of bad contracts, but if you've got that one World Series, you'll deal with it.
I mean, you're right.
As long as it got you to that next level.
You are absolutely right. You are right on that. I don't think they'll get to the World Series, but you're right on that.
Okay. So my next question is about David Wright, because Mets brass, they say keeping Wright is a priority. But how much will it take, and will they actually spend the money that they will need to keep David Wright? And Pujols showed last offseason that loyalty to one organization is irrelevant if another team costs up more money. So will that be the case for Wright?
Yeah. I mean, if this team doesn't turn things around and show they're going in the right direction, if another team comes calling, I think he'll go, and I wouldn't be mad at him if he did. At the same time, you know, the Mets can simply avoid even having this conversation by extending his option for 2013 and go one more year, and then let's see what he does and go from there.
I think that goes without saying. I think, though, he's going to get an automatic extension. I don't see that not happening. But my question is, if another here's an interesting thing to think about. If another team offers him, let's say, less money, but they're going in a better direction than the Mets are, and the Mets are offering him more money, who should he go with? The team that is closer to the World Series, or a team who's going to pay him more?
You know,
what would you do in that situation?
I'd probably go for the money personally, but that's just me being me. He seems like the type of guy that may take a little less to be in a better situation, and you know, I'm gonna say something right now that's gonna, you know, burn a hole and a lot of Mets fans, but it's a reality that you may want to start to pay attention to a little bit. And you know, I don't know if David Wright has the balls to do this. We'll see. But, hey, look across town. Alex Rodriguez is not getting any younger. The Yankees are going to start full-time DHing him pretty soon, and they're going to need a third baseman soon.
The Phillies.
Yep. So, you know, and again, I don't know if David Wright is the type of person or again, has the balls to kind of go across town and play for the Yankees and stay in this same town. But if he hits the free agency market, you can bet that the Yankees will go after him. You can bet that.
Okay.
Brian's mad at me now.
Yeah, Brian told you to shut up. Literally, he said, "Shut up," and then he put the cap
up. I don't want to see it happen any more than any other Mets fan. But you know what? It's the reality of the situation. If one of the top third basemen in baseball hits the free agency market, you got to look at the teams that need a third baseman. And again, Alex Rodriguez is not getting any younger. He's been more injured over the last few years. I'm sure the Yankees want to start DHing him more and more. So you gotta think about that. I think it's a fair question.
And I think you should start getting used to being called Carl, because Brian is very upset with you right now. I mean, this is something that I've always thought about. You know, Mets fans always complain David Wright is not a good third baseman. He should play first base. Blah blah blah. But you know what? There's enough teams out there who actually go for David Wright at third base. I think that's something that fans need to think about. For all the bitching and complaining.
And David Wright just scored the tying run. David Wright just scored the tying run in the eighth inning.
You guys have to literally think, after the 2013 season, if the Mets don't sign him, there is a chance that he can go to the Yankees, he can go to the Phillies. He's going to go to a rival.
Right.
You know, because especially if that team is in the right direction, sometimes it's not all about the money. It's all about, when all is said and done, it's about winning a championship. It's about getting that ring. Yes, players do want to get paid. But at the same time, their goal is to get to the World Series and win it. So I'm sorry, but personally, if I have a couple of teams courting me, I'm going to go to the team who's in the best, who's going into the best direction to get that World Series. Even if it is for a little bit less money than what I'm being offered by a couple of other teams. Because I want that ring. You know, it's great to sit in your lap of luxury with all that money after you retire and everything. But what good is all that money if you don't have that ring? Sure, you can go out and buy the ring yourself. You can have one made for you because you have the money for it. But you're still going to feel a little empty, because you knew that at some point you could have gotten that ring. So personally, I would go with the team that's closest to the World Series and winning it rather than the money.
Yeah, I mean, and I think if it comes down to it, I think that that's what he'll do. I'm just greedy like that. I'd take the money, in all honesty.
Apparently. How forgiving would Mets fans be? Would they wish David Wright well, or would they be upset with him? Because, I mean, when Reyes did what he did, there were quite a bit of Mets fans who were bitter. Some wished him well, some were bitter. And I think the fact that he pulled himself out of the last, out of his last game, I think that pissed off Mets fans even more. But would, how would the Mets fans react to David Wright if he went to, say, a New York Yankees or a Philadelphia Phillies?
I think if he went to the Yankees, I seriously think he would have to move out of the city. That's how upset I think Mets fans would be. And the same thing with Philly. And that's why I said that I don't know if David Wright is that type of player or, you know, that type of person and has the balls to do that, because it would not be good for him in New York, at least on, you know, the Mets side of the fence, if he did something like that. And I mean, just think about it. I mean, look at, as soon as I even mentioned it, Brian got upset with me in the chat room. I mean, Mets fans don't want to hear that, that would be like the worst thing in the world.
I think what makes it so much worse for Mets fans is the fact that he's a homegrown player. You want to try and keep your homegrown players. I think Mets fans are just so traumatized by the Tom Seaver fiasco that they can't stand the thought of losing another homegrown player who has the potential to really get this team to the next level. You know, Mets fans think about 2006, and David Wright and Jose Reyes were both part of that. You know, now we lost Jose Reyes. Now are we going to lose David Wright too? And I don't think that's something that Mets fans can handle. Now, after the breakup with Jose Reyes, I think it'll be kind of traumatic for Mets fans to lose him.
Yeah, I think it'll be worse than Reyes, honestly. I definitely do that. I just think it'll be that much more worse. But we'll see. You know, again, if I'm the Mets, I try to approach right this off season, maybe throw some feelers out there. But at the end of the day, again, I'm not really concerned about him coming back next year. It's the year after that, and you know, we'll see. We will see. This team, you know, they've got to spend money at some point. So we'll see.
Oh, and by the way, Brian just put you on the list.
On the list?
And I think we both know what list that is. I'm not going to say it because then Zeke is going to have to edit this episode, and I don't think he wants to go through all that. So I think you know what list he's talking about.
He put me on the list, and now he's back to fighting with guest 99099.
You know, those two have been entertaining me throughout this show in that chat room, man.
Yeah, thank you guys for keeping the chat room lively.
Seriously. Guest 99 is saying, how could anybody be upset by losing Reyes to the office so little? Brian says, you're really not too bright, are you? You gotta love the chat room. Chat room is always entertaining. But with that said, guys, thank you for joining us tonight. We will be back next week, 9:00 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio for the Five Soul Show. We will be talking more baseball, including Yankees playoff races and all that good stuff. Thank you, Carell, for joining me again. Again, welcome back to the program. Everybody, have a great night. Mets and Phillies are tied at 5, bottom of the 8th. Enjoy the week, guys.
Later, guys.